Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barbon, and with me is Cassandra Bragg. And Cassandra is, I guess you're the most popular person right now on the forum and from the, at least within the community. And more than a few people have demanded that your podcast go up first. And, you're the second person I'm interviewing, but even the person I've already interviewed was like, but she even confirmed with me that you were going to go first. I don't know if you, obviously, I haven't told you that, but that's, that's how I'm putting you on the spot here. So yours has got to be good.
I know. I'm like, man, I don't even have any good material.
You didn't work through your best stuff?
Oh. No, I don't. Everybody tells me I'm, like, funny and stuff. I'm like, I guess. My husband doesn't think I'm funny, though. You know, he just kind of blank stares at me when I try to say something funny. You know.
Well, I like, I don't know, your presence in the community is pretty good. So, and you always seem to put up, I like your videos, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think everyone's super, pretty entertained with your blog and everything you do, so I guess they were all anticipating this. So, yeah, you're on the spot. You can't disappoint now.
I know, right? It's
I
like,
know.
Man, it's going to have to be like the Chappelle Show or something.
It totally. It has to be season four, the missing season.
Exactly. It's got to be like Queens of Comedy. You know, I have to come out like Monique, you know, and just be like hilarious.
Yeah, no, I think everyone's going to be happy regardless. So anyways, I've sent you some stuff and you and I've talked about a little bit, that we're just going to go through a little pattern here, but wherever we end up, we end up. And I actually, some of the stuff we were talking about earlier, I'd like to get back into that later.
Okay.
Like what happened on that forum, cause that's kind of recent. And that kind of speaks a little bit to the Venus effect and how as soon as you do anything and make a change, people start noticing. And I never even considered that part. We actually just finished recording a Venus Effect podcast, like the concept of what like might happen. And I didn't even consider the idea of like what you said happened in the forum with the girls putting links in and stuff like that. So I guess as soon as you make change, people notice and people are, you've got supporters, detractors, profiteering, everything basically.
Exactly.
Okay. So I guess getting into the little pattern here, talk about your history of training and dieting and how you, what you've tried in the past, if anything.
Okay, well, my history is kind of funny because my mom, who's now Venus, now, hi mom, but my mom can vouch that I've been skinny like all my life. Like I was a skinny kid, she used to call me string bean, you know, skinny mini. I mean, I was always small. Like I would eat like huge amounts of food, you know, never gained weight. You know, as a young person, even my youngest daughter, I had her very, very young. I was like 17 or 18 when she was born. So even after having her, I lost the weight, you know, because I was still, you know, basically a kid physically. Well, obviously not physically if I could reproduce, right? But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, I mean, it wasn't hard for me to get back to being small after that. You know, joined the military. They had us running like 3 times a week. We did basically like body weight workouts, rough marches. I mean, we were burning so many calories in the military that me eating Wendy's and McDonald's every single day, the amount of calories I was burning, I guess, versus what I was taking in, there was no way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how I did it because I drank a lot when I was in the military too. But somehow I always had a little bit of a tummy, but I mean, I was always like a size 4. Then I got out of the military and things changed. I was pregnant with my second child. I gained 60 pounds during that pregnancy. I didn't know what the heck. I mean, I had never been big in my life. And so I searched for like 3 years. I tried like all these different diet products.
How old were you at that point?
I was like 21 or 22. This was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd done, you know, all kinds of diet pills. You know, I bought into everything about eating every couple hours and everything. And I eventually got the weight off. You know, I went through, like, I don't know if I can say Beachbody, but, I mean, I did some of their programs, which are good programs. They're a little too cookie cutter, and I guess I'll get to that in a second. But they're good programs as far as, like, you know, burn a lot of calories, losing weight, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I did, you know, like, Turbo Gym and stuff, and I actually got down to, like, the 150s. And I was still kind of straight up and down, but I wasn't fat anymore. So I was happy about that. It's like, okay, you know, I don't have the shape that I want because, you know, I'm a black girl. And being a black girl, you're kind of expected to have curves in certain places, which I didn't have. I hope my mom, my mom is a minister. I hope she doesn't get mad at me for saying this on the thing. But I had nacetyl disease, which is no ass at all. That's what I had growing up.
Yeah.
So, and I hope I'm not being too stereotypical, but I know there's at least one other black woman listening that knows that if you're a black girl without a booty, life is difficult. So for me, it's like I got down skinny. I still didn't really have, much going on, but, at least I wasn't fat anymore. So then I ended up pregnant with my son, my first son. I gained 80 pounds with that pregnancy. So got huge again, lost the weight again, same type of thing, ended up pregnant again with Job. Now I'm nervous because I lost the weight again with Venus this time. I don't really want a fifth baby, but who knows, maybe that's my sabotage point. I'm afraid to, hit VI so I don't end up knocked up again. I don't know. But anyway, so I guess that's basically my history. I used the Beach Body programs, and got the weight off, but I never had the shape I wanted. Like I would look for things, there would be all these programs that said, okay, Brazilian butt lift workouts or, this workout or that workout for the booty. And then I would see the models that they were using and I'm like, that doesn't look like the kind of booty I want. So it was just for years, just trying to find out, okay, well, what workout do I need to do? What exercises do I need to do to get the shape I want? And then Venus was almost like an answer to prayer. Because, I seen the girls, I seen Allie's pictures, it's wow, And then when I seen the winners, that put me over the edge because I'm okay, all these girls ended up hourglassy in some form of way. They didn't end up, ruler shaped after the program. They actually had curves in the right places. So, that's what led me to Venus, I guess. I'm kind of rambling, but I'm...
No, that was I'm just, was it rough going up and down in weight like that?
Oh, yeah. Yes, because, you have to, understand. One thing I guess I've always told people, you posted a blog thing recently about believing, the seven-letter word, and I think that's the reason I've always been able to work hard to get back small, because I never saw myself as a big person. So, my heart really hurts a lot of times for someone who's been big all their lives because I don't know what to tell them, because if they see themselves as a big person, and that's who they, their identity is tied to that. I don't know, what to say to them to, change the way they perceive themselves. I can't change my perception to see that I'm supposed to be a big person. I have this strong belief that I'm not supposed to be big. So that always, drives me. But just, going through the weight gain, it was just, crazy because when I got pregnant, it's all of a sudden – the weight, I know it didn't come out of nowhere. I know it came from the Twizzlers, and, I know that's where the weight came from. Because, I can remember specifically with Kayla and Caleb having, large bags of Twizzlers, the big one-pound bags that Walmart so evilly puts down for, $1.25, and it's oh, it's only $1.25. I'll just buy this bag of Twizzlers for $1.25, and I'm going to eat six and put the bag away. No, the bag is gone.
Yeah, the bag becomes the bag becomes the serving size, right?
Exactly. It's okay, yeah, that's not going to happen. That's why gas stations. Just a little side note. That's why gas stations are my best friends now, because if I really, really have a craving for a treat or some kind of candy, I know it's better to go there, and get a little bag of gummy bears that's 150 calories versus if you go to Walmart, you can't find those little bags anymore.
Yeah,
they only have the 5-serving bags.
Yeah, it's better at a gas station. You spend more and you get less.
Right.
So, but it helps control you on 2 points because you're spending more and you're getting – you don't want to constantly do that, but and it's sort
right.
of – it helps you control portion size. I remember people – you know how they do those little mini chocolate bars now that are just half the size of a regular one?
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, that's stupid. It's less calories, but it's only just because they cut the chocolate bar in half. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. And they know you're going to eat the whole thing anyways, so they're helping you by giving you a smaller portion. I'm with you on that one 100%.
Right. The new Snickers peanut butter squared, I'm advertising for Snickers. But they have the PB squared where it's those two little squares in there.
Yeah.
And each square is only 175 calories. So I'm good, because I can just – I have, you know, I have like a whole tribe full of people living with me. I'm sure I can find somebody to eat the other piece.
Sure, yeah.
I make the kids work for it. You know, it's like, okay, who's mommy's favorite today? I know that's not PC, but it makes me like a bad mom. You know, it's like, okay, mommy's favorite today gets the other half of the PB squared. That's probably going to give them complexes when they're, you know, they're going to be on some talk shows talking about, you know, she always loved him more than me.
Yeah.
He, you know, well, he was always her special guy, you know.
Look at all the Snickers squares he got.
Yeah.
So what was your, okay, so let's get into the contest itself. What was it? All right, just walk us through it. What was it like to go through it?
Man, well, when I first started, I was like kind of like gung-ho. Like I was like a psycho. Like who did I send a message to? Like Alicia, Caroline, Naomi. I think like the first day, I'm like, okay, look, you're in the open. You're not my competition. You have to tell me. Tell me. What did you do? How much do I need to eat? And Alicia was like very clear. She's like, look, you're going to have to, we have similar shapes. You have to get the waist down. We have, you know, we both tend to store like in the middle of our body, and that's going to hurt, you know, for hitting VI. You know, like if you're, you know, bigger on the bottom or, you know, it doesn't hurt you as much because your waist is still there.
Right,
but
right.
When you have a bigger waist, you know, I mean, I've given birth to, you know, two humans and two krakens. So, I mean, you know, having these, you know, my kids, by the way, my first was only like 7 pounds, like 8 ounces. My daughter was 9 pounds, 5 ounces. My son was 10 pounds, 4 ounces. And the little baby, he was only 7'12". So that's why I say two humans and, you know, two krakens, yeah. You know, like the movie Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, those are some big ones.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like most women, you know, when they're in the delivery room, you know, they're like, okay, here comes the baby, push, you know, and my doctor is like, release the kraken, you know, and here comes my baby from my body.
Oh, man. Okay, so you talked to some of the previous winners, and so walk us through it.
Okay, well, it was hard. I mean, it was very hard for me to cut my calories because, like, I'm still breastfeeding right now. So for some women, you know, I don't know. For me, I still have a little bit of a belief that I'm a snowflake. Because every woman says, oh, you know, when you breastfeed, you'll be lighter than you were before you had the baby, and the weight just melts off. So imagine my surprise when I start gaining weight, you know, because my appetite is, like, worse than even during pregnancy. You know, so it's, like, out of control. It's, like, doesn't my body realize I have a good, like, 50 extra pounds on me right now? I really don't need these extra calories to make the milk. I have plenty. But, I mean, my appetite is just, like, you know, out of control. So, you know, just trying to do that. And then you can't take certain supplements when you're breastfeeding because it can pass into the milk. So, you know, so normally someone, like friends have told me about like the EC stack and different things you can do, you know, to kind of suppress your appetite and different supplements. Well, I can't take almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, what I ended up doing is I was like, at first I tried with Eat Stop Eat. And it didn't work out well for me because as much as Brad put in that book, just start eating like you haven't been fasting. I'm not mentally there yet.
Mm.
So mentally, I'm like, okay, it's time to eat. Let's eat everything that we missed out on during the fast. And so that didn't work for me because I would fast and do really great for my fast and then have a 3,000 calorie day, which obviously, you know, is not good. So what I ended up doing is I guess more of like a lean gains style, like some of the other girls do, like intermittent fasting, like one or two meals a day in like a small eating window.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that worked better for me because, you know, there's like a certain point, I think past like 18 or 19 hours where I get really hungry and that whole, compensate for, you know, what I haven't been eating. But like around 18 or 19 hours fasted, no problem. So I break my fast with like a big salad and then just like have my big meal. And then I'd be like nice and full and feel like really good, like Thanksgiving satisfied. And I was able to keep my calories low that way. So that's when I started to see better results when I just made the fast a little bit shorter than 24 hours and would do it daily versus just the 24-hour fast a week.
It's amazing how much difference 5 or 6 hours can make, eh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of insane, my appetite. I'm looking forward to weaning this boy so I can, like, feel like a normal person again, you know?
Yeah. Now, did you, I don't know, do you have any experience with Eats Upeat without being, without being either pregnant? Did you even do Eats Upeat when you were pregnant? No. Okay.
No.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's possible. And then
I did,
and then,
I did a version of it. I did eat. There was stopping, you know, eating. It was just like eat. But
right.
No, eat when I was pregnant. But before.
Yeah, we're coming out with that book later. Yeah.
Yeah. Eat. That's the bulking program, right?
Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I've seen that before, by the way. Funny, you know, you guys talk about, like, you know, the craziness of bulking. I've actually seen bodybuilding things where, like, guys are getting up, like, every 2 hours at night to eat their meals. I'm like, that's insane. You know, but
yeah, me and Brad worked at a supplement company where one of the things we worked on was the idea of nighttime protein, where we came up with the concept of protein for the middle of the night, and then, you know, actually put a product. I think Brad spearheaded the whole thing, kind of put a product together for it, and then sort of convinced, part of the marketing campaign was to convince guys it's a good idea to wake up in the middle of the night to take the product.
So it was you. It was your fault.
Well. Yeah, we're kind of responsible for a lot of problems.
You guys, see, that's why you guys are doing this now, right? To correct, you know, your sins from the past of
kind of. It's a little bit of an apology, I guess, in a way, make amends. It's well, I mean, when you're in that industry, you just do what you're paid to do, sort of thing,
right?
So, but anyways, that's a whole nother topic. We can get into it at a different point. Okay, so you. So, and then, is that it then? What did you do as far as so you did a kind of roughly a lean gain style.
Right. I've done Eat Stop Eat did work for me when I wasn't pregnant, by the way. Because I did Eat Stop Eat before I got pregnant with number 4, and it did work well then. There wasn't a whole bunch of compensatory eating then,
right.
Because my hormone levels, I guess, were more normal. You know, there's like this weird thing about breastfeeding for me is there's just this driving need to eat. And so I had to, like, figure out a way to make that work because I don't have that kind of willpower, you know.
Well, yeah, and you don't need to, though, right? There's not necessarily magic to that 24-hour number. It's just a somewhat simple way to train people to eat less. That's all it is. So if and like you said, you just had to find a way to make it work while you're breastfeeding and stuff because it's not matching with how your body's built. And I mean, a 5 or 6 hour difference and it works. That's a pretty simple adjustment.
Right. And I just ate a lot of bulky stuff, you know, stuff to feel full. Like, I've never been one to do well with, you know, eating every, you know, 2 to 3 hours because, I don't know, my mom's listening, so I'm going to put her out there. It's her fault because growing up, she always made me clean my plate. I couldn't get up. If I didn't clean my plate, I couldn't leave stuff behind. So now I can't, like you guys did a podcast recently where you talked about someone throwing out, or you wrote in a post, I think, about someone who would throw out like half a candy bar and he ate the one half. I couldn't do that, man. I can't. Like, it hurts my heart just thinking about it because, you know, I had to clean my plate growing up. So now, you know, as an adult, I still clean my plate. And I just like the feeling of fullness. So I would just eat a lot of, you know, apples. You know, apples are very filling, salads, and then I put the dressing in the cup on the side, just anything with, like, a lot of bulk, anything that was calorie dense, I guess is the word, anything that was calorie dense, I couldn't do, because
right.
I would eat, like, tons of it, like literally, I can sit there with, like, you know, those 12-ounce pecan, I don't know if you guys have Walmart up there,
yeah.
But they have, well, you know, the big 12-ounce pecan package that they have over by the produce, like, they have the big ones of the pecans or the almonds or cashews, like the different nuts, I can sit there and I can eat the whole 12-ounce thing and still eat more food. So, I mean, I'm like a bottomless pit. That's what my mom called me when I was a kid.
you got to stay away from the calorically dense stuff because it's kind of volumetrics, right? Like Barbara Rolls wrote a book about it, and the concept is people seem to want to eat up to a certain poundage of food, and
right.
It doesn't matter how much calories are in the food. It's just like if the average human wants to eat 5 pounds of food, let's say, if you just weighed it for a day, it doesn't matter how many calories are in it necessarily, it just matters that it weighs 5 pounds. So if you can find a way to eat 5 pounds of food with less calories in it, you're, like you said, you can sort of fill up without filling up on as many calories. So that would be like bulky vegetables and fruit and stuff that weighs a lot, right? It's got a lot of water content to it.
Right, yeah. Like I have to feel, I don't know. Like, it's so weird because when I'm not pregnant or nursing, I actually like the feeling of emptiness. I did a 30-day fast before. I mean, I did like a whole 30-day, like master cleanse type of thing for like a whole 30 days. And I really like the feeling of feeling empty and just like clean and light. But for some reason, now I just want to feel like if I can feel heavy after a meal, then I feel good. So obviously that doesn't work well, you know, when you're trying to lose weight. So I had to, you know, bulk up with other types of food that would fill me up, you know.
Yeah. So the trick is feeling that full sort of satisfying heavy feeling without it having as many calories.
Right. Because I think that's something I noticed when I started using the eating window. When I changed the foods I was eating a little bit, you know, to less, you know, dense type of calorie foods and more like just really bulky stuff that didn't have a lot of calories, it did the same thing. Like I would look at my chart on my FitnessPal, the app I use to track my calories. I'd plug everything in and it'd be like 800 calories. And, you know, of course I have calorie guilt. I'm like, no, I need to eat more. But, you know, it's like, you know, because like when you're nursing, they tell you, you know, you need to eat, you know, at least 1800 calories. That didn't work well for me. It's way too much. So, I mean, I cut it back closer to like 1500. You know, some days it was, I think it was probably range between 12 and 1500. But I think you burn like, they say you burn like an extra 300 calories when you're nursing. I don't know how true that is or how accurate it is.
Did you ever get to a point where you were producing less milk?
Yeah. Oh, no, no. That's the interesting thing. That's the, yeah, I talked to Naomi about that as a matter of fact. That was the most interesting thing I saw about cutting my calories because, you know, they tell you, oh, you know, don't diet when you're nursing. Don't cut your calories because, you know, you'll produce less milk. But that's not actually true, you know, at least in my experience. And I did a lot of research on that, too, because I'm like, you know, it was hard. I've never been able to lose weight breastfeeding before. I mean, through my other three kids, I couldn't lose weight when I was nursing. It wasn't until I weaned them that I could finally start dropping weight. So this time I'm like, man, I don't want to go through this again. You know, it took me 11 months to get the weight off from my last son. So it's like, I don't want to, you know, wait a whole year before I can, I don't want to be fat, you know, because that's just not how I see myself. I don't see myself as a big person, so I don't want to be big, you know. So I didn't want to have to choose, you know, and I remember crying like a little wuss, like a little baby, you know, just like crying, you know, because of like, oh, I don't want to have to choose between my son, you know, what's best for him and, you know, and what's best for me, you know, physically, you know, but I had to, and it's like, well, you know, everyone would try to encourage me and say, well, you're only going to, you know, breastfeed for this long period of time and stuff. And it's like, yeah, you know, but it's kind of like an internal, you know, moral struggle, I guess, you know, because I want to do what's best for my baby, but I don't want to be big either, you know. And it's like, I feel like I should get to be selfish sometimes. I birthed four of these already. I can be a little selfish this time, you know. But so I remember just, like, crying and just being depressed. So I just started like researching and found out that was a myth, you know, that you can reduce, you know, calories and it won't affect your milk supply. The biggest thing that affects milk supply is hydration. You know, there are studies on women in third world countries who are eating, you know, well below their RMR. They're producing tons of milk or eating nothing but rice and producing tons of milk. The only thing that really, the biggest factor in milk supply is hydration. So I just made sure that I stayed hydrated and my milk supply didn't dip. You know, I did have a slight dip, and I got to correct that. I had a very, very slight dip in my milk supply, but according to my pediatrician, that had more to do with the fact that my son started crawling and then standing and trying to walk all in the same month. So all of a sudden he's like, you know, super active, started solids. When they start solids, your milk supply dips a little there anyhow. So, but then it was fine. Like he didn't gain, you know, I was a little concerned because he didn't gain that 1 month, but she's like, okay, well, let's check it in 4 weeks. And he gained like 4 pounds. So obviously my milk supply is fine.
Right. So
you know,
then
he gained that much.
Right. So then it wasn't an issue.
Right. No, it wasn't an issue at all. He still gets plenty of milk. So, I mean, I know there's another Venus that's going to be nursing soon, you know, and, you know, they kind of scare you about, you know, cutting back on your calories. Not really doctors. It's not even really the doctors that do that. It's just, you know, more people, you know, around.
The popular fitness media and all that.
Right, the popular media, you know, saying, oh, you know, well, don't ever eat less than, you know, 1,800 calories, or if you go to, like, certain apps, you know, and try to do different, you know, programs to put in your calories. And it asks you, are you pregnant or breastfeeding? If you check yes, it won't tell you how many calories you need to eat to lose weight. It's like, oh, we don't recommend, you know, cutting your calories when you're breastfeeding. So,
well, women who are either pregnant or nursing are legally difficult to give advice to if you're not a licensed practitioner, because just about anything that could potentially – anything that could happen or go wrong, you can just blame or sue whoever you just took the advice
right.
from, right? It's almost like – you know, if I was really worried about it, I would exclude all pregnant and nursing women from the contest, because you could just turn around and if anything went wrong with you or your child, you could be like, it's that jackass that I was listening to, so it's his fault. you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
you're kind of – your demographic in that time, either pregnant or nursing, is quite it can get very litigious, and you can come up with a million reasons to sue anybody, any advice. Right. So people who like, you know, an actual physician who knows what they're doing with, you know, that obviously they're only going to tell you what's what they know is kind of on the straight and narrow for you. But in general, there's just so many contraindications. That's why just about every single supplement, like especially in the supplement industry, just about every single supplement, we just blanket label, like if you're pregnant or nursing, don't take this, or consult
right.
your physician. And that absolves us of any responsibility, because we could, if you take something and something happens to you, or even worse, something happens to the child, right on the label, it says, we can tell you, look, we told you not to take this, right?
Right.
Because, and nobody, like, that's the last thing. Because people, I mean, a mother would be even more, she's going to be more upset if something happens to the child than herself, right?
Right.
And that's going to be grounds for even more action to be taken. And nobody wants to mess up somebody's kid. So
right. That's
why the recommendations get so conservative with a mother or with a mother when she's either pregnant or nursing. So it's even if the science is pretty good, like pointing in one direction, it's like you want it to be like ironclad, stamped 100%, this is the recommendation, because you just don't want to be the person who goes public and says pregnant women should do, it's okay for this, and women who are nursing, it's fine to do that. And you don't want to be the guy, and if a bunch of them do it and a bunch of them get a reaction, and worse, if it somehow harms the child, you're in
big
trouble. So that's why...
I mean, and I know you guys aren't, like, huge fans of Atkins, but I don't know if you remember how they crucified him in the media for saying that it was okay for nursing women to do Atkins. You know?
Yeah,
it's like, oh,
it
you know,
probably is okay, but that's why you get crucified.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, but there's plenty of countries where women don't eat 300 grams of carbs a day and their kids are fine. So,
right.
You know, saying that it's like, oh, okay, and then, you know, he got crucified so bad in the media that he had to turn around and say now, that, you know, if you're pregnant or nursing, you can, you know, eat at maintenance, don't cut your carbs back, you know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, and it's odd because it's almost like you're in this sort of diet, health, and fitness exercise prison, you know, when you're pregnant.
It is very much like a prison, and it's very hard because, you know, when you're like me, someone like me who gains very easily when I'm pregnant, I mean, I feel like it sometimes that I didn't eat that much more than other pregnant women around me. It would gain twice as much, you know, and I don't know, maybe my body's just more receptive to, maybe my body just likes fat, you know, it likes to be cushy, I guess. But it's frustrating because it's like you're trying to find answers, you know, and nobody really wants to touch it. So it's like, and then, you know, there's a guilt to that, you know, there's a little bit of a guilt to, okay, yes, I know I'm nursing, but I also have to get up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. I need something for energy. Oh, well, don't drink caffeine when you're nursing because it can get to the baby and disrupt your sleep. So then what do? Now you're dangerous behind the wheel because you're, you know, you can't even have a cup of coffee. But, you know, so I think the recommendation is like up to 300 milligrams, but some doctors will say less than that. You know, and that's just coffee. You know, that's just plain old coffee. So, I mean, it's hard to try to find advice and stuff, so you kind of end up just being lumpy when you're nursing, and it sucks. And I didn't want that, you know. I like being smaller, you know. I don't want to be lumpy.
You don't want to wait around for it, too. So, yeah, I guess it's almost like you and your body are on hold during all that time. It's basically the message you're always going to get is, well, you're just on hold for that time.
Right. And then you feel bad because, you know, you're kind of indirectly, I guess, made to feel like you're selfish, you know, or somehow you're a bad parent because you actually want your body back to a certain extent. You know, it's like, okay, they've had it for 9 months. You know, and I think that's why
can I have it back now? Yeah,
it's like, you know, please let me, you know, have my boobs, you know, let me have my body back. You know, and then you there's like a guilt to it, you know, and then you know, there's some people that like I'm a big proponent of breastfeeding, but I'm not like a nursing Nazi. Like there's some women that are like total nursing Nazis that if you don't, you know, travel across the world for this, you know, special remedy because your milk supply is dipped, you know, you're just a horrible, selfish person, you know. And it's tough. You know, it is tough to, you know, feel like you're in a position where you have to choose, you know. And because it's not even a choice. It's always going to be the baby. You know, it's not even a question. For me, it was like, well, I guess I'm going to have to be big. But I guess I just had this belief, like, there's got to be some kind of way. There's got to be something I can do, even if I have to do, you know, I got to a point where I was trying to do cardio. Twice a day I was doing 60 minutes of cardio, and all I did was get hungry from doing all that cardio.
So, actually, that's
even more.
All right, well, that's a good segue then. What was the training like?
Well, the training was really fun. I was really surprised because I've always done workout videos. The only other weight training I've ever done was I did like P90X, so like 10-pound weight, so really not really weight training. And then like there's another program, Shaleen Extreme. I did really well with that one. That one was like, you know, lifting heavy weights to failure, and it was a 12-week thing. But even that was like a 30-minute workout. I think there was only like 6 or 7 sets of exercises in that. So just the volume of exercise was like a shock to my body. Like I was... I think I put on a bit of muscle, you know. My husband said I put on some muscle, so.
Oh, with VI?
Yes, with VI. Sorry. Okay. Yes, I mean, I put on, because I have pictures of myself at a similar weight that I am now, but I definitely have more muscle now. Like, there's a distinct difference. Like, at this weight before, I was smaller, but I looked kind of skinny, where now, like, there's definitely, like, in my legs, you know, my butt, my arms, my back, there's definitely, like, way more muscle there than there was before.
And were you just, you were on the main program?
Right, the main VI program, and it was tough at first. I mean, I was struggling to do the 3 workouts a week because I would be so sore. I've never been sore like that before. I think the closest was when I joined the military, was the closest to that level of soreness. So, like, right now, I started VI before, like a week or two before the contest. I'm just now in week 11. So that's how much has been spread out for me. So, you know, I ended up doing more. There was like 2 weeks where I only did one workout, you know, and then most weeks I did 2, and then sometimes I would get lucky and do 3. Like this week is going to be, I mean, I just did, was it week 11, day 1? Oh, my gosh, you're evil for those, like, reverse lunge and step-up things. Those are like... So, but they're so good, though. They're good.
They're good,
but I'm like, this is just one rep. I'm tired. I'm ready for my 1 minute rest now.
Yeah, it's a lot of, well, and that's good. I'm glad you said that, because the point, if you're doing them, I always say that if you're doing it right with the right amount of weight and the right intensity, that 1 minute, you should need every last second of it.
I do go light on that. I do tweak it though. I'm not so. I know, you know. And you guys say it's okay to you know, tweak it to your needs. But I mean, I'm so used to, you know, doing the DVD programs where it's like you have to follow this schedule. You have to do it this way, or you're not going to get results if you don't follow it exactly. But, you know, I've read other people's blogs, and I'm like, you know what? It can still work out. You know, I'm much bigger in my shoulders already. You know, I have very broad shoulders. I've always had broad shoulders. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've done, you know, a couple thousand push-ups in the military, you know, for all those years. Mm-hmm. But my shoulders are quite broad. And my biceps, you know, I tend to – Serena Williams is like my hero because I have a similar body type. Like, my biceps will get, like, kind of bigger and cut-looking, like with very little. Like, even today, like, I was just doing my hair, and then I'm, like, looking, and my biceps are popping while I'm doing my hair. I'm like, my gosh, you know? Like, I never see that on other girls. You know, what is up with you know, these arms? Maybe I should play tennis. I don't know. But, so with that, I would go, I always picked a lighter weight for my upper body because I started out going heavier. It felt like I was getting a little bit bigger, so I went lighter, and then my shoulders started shrinking. So I haven't gone very heavy with the upper body stuff, but I go as heavy as I can with the lower body.
Right, so yeah, and so you just adjust the back.
Right, and I have seen significant growth. Like, I have gained, believe it or not, I've gained, like, an inch. Even though I've lost almost 20 pounds, and I've gained an inch on each of my thighs.
And was that part of what you were looking for?
It's what I wanted, yes. Yeah. So don't be scared, ladies. They're like, oh, crap, you know, Venus is going to balloon up my thighs. I'm trying to shrink my thighs now. No, it's what I wanted. I wanted to build thighs in my lower body because, you know, I don't like having a straight shape. You know, and this is no diss to any other Venus because every Venus is, like, amazing, but Caroline has, like, my dream body. Like, if I could wake up tomorrow and be shaped like Caroline, I don't know. Maybe that's why God didn't give me that body because I'd be a stripper somewhere maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't.
You'd just be arrogant and completely unbearable.
I would. I'd walk around in string bikinis in Walmart and stuff, just like grocery shopping. You know, it'd be the dead of winter. You know, and I'm walking around, you know, in like a sports bra and, you know, some booty shorts. It would be terrible. It wouldn't be good.
Well, I mean, there you go, Caroline. That's a huge compliment. And that's, I remember you said something on, I think it was either a forum thread or a blog, but you said something about having the T shape you were trying to get rid of.
Yes.
Yes. So you were referring to like kind of a, like what, like wide shoulders, but not like you're kind of the lower body. You want to get the hourglass going on the lower.
Right. Right. Because the way I gain weight is I have very broad shoulders. I'm not hippie at all. Women have always asked me, like, oh, how did you slim your hips? I'm like, I was born like that. I didn't do anything to slim my hips down at all. I've just never been hippie, ever. Mm-hmm. So I've always, like, you know, had more of, like, a T-frame. And so I've, you know, leaned towards sports because of that. You know, I liked sports in high school, did track and field, basketball, because I have a very strong upper body. I can, like, I used to max out my PT test with my push-ups. You know, most girls didn't do that. You know, I think that happened, you know, PT test, I'd do like 80 sit-ups in the 2 minute. I mean, I was like maxing it out. I couldn't run for crap, but I mean, I could do the other, I could do the other stuff. I'd be like, you know, looking like a punk out there trying to make it, you know, 2 mile in 18 minutes, just like, you know, like, you know, I was the one like, you know, that was looking like they were going to die. Like, you ever watch Biggest Loser? And, you know, and I feel mean for even making fun. But, I mean, you know, you watch The Biggest Loser and they're, like, running the mile and they're, like, everybody's going to die, like, running a mile. You know, it's like, okay, you're being a little dramatic now. Mm. You know, like, there's that one season where the Tracy girl, you know, she, like, fell out and had to have a mask and everything. I'm like, okay, it's a mile. Really? Just walk. You know, and like, you're being a little bit dramatic. I mean, you walk a mile through Walmart grocery shopping. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But, you know, that was me on my PT test. I couldn't run for nothing. But, I mean, I was always strong in my upper body. So, and I think when you're, I'm one of those all or nothing people. Like you wrote a blog before and that offended me. You made me mad, by the way, in this blog you wrote. Cause
wait a minute.
I don't understand. It was just one where it was a post you made and you were like, I don't understand those people that are like so determined to like do like a workout until they puke or want to die. And I'm like, hey, that's me. I'm one of those people, you know. And I was like all mad and stuff. I'm like, whatever. He's just mad because he can't do it. He's just hating. Haters gonna hate.
That's all it is. Oh my goodness. Maybe I didn't get my point across. Did you know my point there?
I kind of got the gist of it. I just chose to be offended. Is all.
Oh, okay, yeah. To clarify, I don't know if I think I need to clarify. Maybe I feel like I need to defend myself. It's just, if the point of the workout is to get a change in your body, it's not necessarily to show everybody else in the gym how crazy you are. That's kind of the angle I took with it. And I guess when I say stuff like that, or that post was, like, people market workouts that way, and people try to show somebody else up by, like, look how much of a mess I made myself. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I puked. It's like, oh, yeah, well, I puked and I fell down the stairs. It's like, that's nothing to be proud of. Like, that just seems like the fact that you – it's kind of like kids who would, like, hyperventilate, hold their breath, and pass out. It's like, yeah, so what? That's just a normal reaction the human body has to when you do something like that. So
you're
it's
just mad because you can hold your breath. Don't be a hater. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Okay,
you know what? We're moving on.
Okay.
Okay. We've been talking for a while here. So, I guess, what did you think when you, what was your reaction when you saw your pictures? Were you pretty happy?
No. You will not believe this. I almost didn't enter.
Because,
you know, my whole Shark Week showed up, like, the day after my picture. The day after I took my pictures, I started, two days after. So out of nowhere, I was like down to 160. I was like 160.6 2 days before I took the pictures, and then wham, 165. Like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I can fluctuate up to 11 pounds during my cycle. It's insane. Like this last cycle, I went all the way. Right now I'm like 162. I bumped down to 160. I went up and then down. But I went all the way up in 1 week. I went all the way to 173. Was the highest I went. And then once it was gone, it's like whoosh. Like I had a huge whoosh. I can fluctuate like huge amounts during my cycle. So who knows? Maybe I lost even more than I think I did.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's quite a confounder.
Right. But I didn't like them because it's like, oh, I can't suck it in, you know, because my stomach is my like problem area. And it's like, man, I very obvious I've had 4 children, you know, and my waist, you know, and I'm like, I just want this waist to come down and nip in. And I know it's going to have to come through fat loss, but I just didn't like, you know, the back picture was my favorite. Like the picture of, you know, my before and after of my back, that was my favorite shot, my favorite one. But I like some of the side pictures too. The front picture, I didn't like that at all because you can, you know, see all my tummy. So I was like, you know, crying. I was being a baby. I'm like, I don't want to enter. I'm not even going to place. You know, they're going to point and laugh and say, you know, la, 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 you know.
Oh, I'm glad you entered. So is that, is it a two-part thing? Because you know that, no, I'm kind of asking about the Shark Week thing, because you know that A, just a couple days ago you were lighter and looked different, and B, just the way you feel based on the hormones fluctuating, do you think you're maybe not perceiving yourself the way, like in a less positive light?
Was that question clear? Yeah, but then the funny thing is once they uploaded the pictures, I'm like, wow, you know, and then once I looked at it beside my before pictures, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, I should enter. I'll go ahead and enter now because I wasn't going to. I'm like, I'll just wait till next contest and stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to the store now and stuff, and it was funny. I had this like whole text conversation with my husband, and I'm going to the store, and I'm going to go get myself a half gallon of chocolate chip cookie dough, and I'm going to eat it in the car. And he's like, no, you're not. I'm like, I'm going now, and I had to get something from the store, and he sent me like 4 texts. Stay out of frozen foods. No ice cream. No ice cream. Do not get any ice cream.
Oh man,
I didn't get the ice cream, by the way.
Good. And I had no idea that the whole picture thing would be so traumatic.
It was
well,
nice.
But it's good you submitted.
I don't know if you could see it on my face, but I'm like looking at other people's pictures, and I'm like, I don't know how, you know, how Caroline and Alicia and, you know, Kimberly, and Catherine, I'm like, I don't know how they can have such pretty come-hither faces that they're doing in them pictures, because I'm like, you know, my face is like all contorted. I'm like, okay, you know, and my husband's trying to, you know, coach me. He's like, you know, flex, so you have to show your muscle tone, so flex a little. I'm like, okay, all right, flex, suck in, pose, stand up straight, good posture, God, my feet hurt, cheese, you know, and it just, and it showed on my face, because it's like, it's very strained, you know, and my facial expressions and stuff. But
yeah,
there's some effort
there. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh my gosh, who created these shoes? These things are awful. I'm like, man, I guess I never really, you know, I've always been taught, like, now I'm 5'7½. I lost a half an inch somewhere. But, I mean, I've been, like, 5'8 since I was, like, 13 or 14. So, I mean, I've always towered over other girls. So I've never really worn heels because I didn't want to be taller. You know, mm-hmm. I'm already tall, you know, so the last thing I want to, I mean, if I wear heels, I'm taller than my husband. That's not sexy. So, I mean, I don't usually wear them. So having to wear them to take those pictures, that was, wow, that hurt.
Taking pictures is more effort than people think, eh?
It is. It's, I have a whole different respect for, like, models and, you know, it's, fitness competitors, how in the heck, I mean, they walk across the stage and then things with the hot lights and the fake tan and they got the smile and they're, I don't know how they do it, man.
Yeah, it's, well, towards the end of getting prepped, they have to spend, especially when they're new at it, they spend like 6-7 weeks practicing the stage stuff and practicing all the posing. Because, remember, they're practicing in front of a mirror, and then on stage there's no mirror. They're just looking out into a crowd. So they have to groove what a pose feels like. So when they see it in the mirror, they can adjust to make sure it looks right. But when they're on stage, they have to just go off memory. And they're like, oh, I don't know if this – they have to know it looks right. So, yeah, it's a bit of an art. And that's kind of what we – why we're sort of evolving our thing. We want everyone to kind of get an idea at least of how to move around in front of a camera a little bit anyways, because, I mean – a picture isn't just a picture. There's a lot you can do with it, and that's kind of why we try to coach people on it. But we're kind of getting on to the end here. So what's your take-home advice? Like, what's the thing you kind of want to say to everybody as far as other people who might jump in or on the fence or people that are in your similar situation? I don't know. This is your chance to just say whatever you want to say.
It sounds cheesy, and I hate cheesy stuff, but, like, never, ever, ever give up. I mean, it's so, you know, when you're, I know that a lot of the ladies are like me in a way, you know, that it's kind of like almost like an extreme personality, you know, kind of like all or nothing. Like, if I can't win, I won't play, you know, like if you're bad at Monopoly, instead of, you know, playing Monopoly, you just say Monopoly's a stupid game, I'm not going to play that. You know, kind of like that. So for me, it was really, you just can't, like, give up. It's better to do 2 workouts in a week than no workouts. You know, it's better to do 10 reps than no reps. If you can't do all 12, you know, push through it. If you feel crappy, you know, and you just want to do the whole workout with 10-pound weight, do the whole workout with 10-pound weights. You know, I mean, I would, part of the thing in the beginning is I would actually skip workouts if I felt like I couldn't, you know, do it with a 30 or 40-pound weight. You know, if I felt too tired, I'm like, oh, I'm not just going to go through the motions with a 10-pound weight. But, you know, it's all cumulative. It all adds up. So even if I have a workout or two with only 10-pound weights, maybe I'm not going to get the best effect of my muscles, but I'm going to feel better about myself. I'm going to break a bit of a sweat, and I'm not going to go work out on something later because I just worked my butt off. The last thing I want to do now is go eat some crap, you know? So, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Cause I think that was the biggest thing for me, being a perfectionist, and I have to do it right. The first time, I can't half but do anything, you know, it has to always be right. So for me to actually just do a workout and it not be a 10 every single time, I would have to like psych myself up to work out. Like even cardio, you know, I'd go back and forth with doing, do I do cardio? Do I want to do cardio? Do I not? When I do cardio, I'll get on the ARC trainer and I will turn that sucker up to 80% resistance and 10%, you know, the maximum incline and go as hard as I can. Cause I'm like, I'm going to burn every single freaking calorie that I can on this thing, you know, but there's some days when I don't feel like doing that. So, but I've reached the point now where instead of just skipping the workout, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'll do 30. I'll do 30 resistance and 5 incline. But I'm going to do something. I'm not just going to sit on my butt. I'm going to get up and do something because it all adds up. You know, it's going to go one way or the other. You know?
So every little bit counts.
Every little bit counts. I mean, every little thing. You may not feel like it. And that's the thing. I think that's how we as women, well, you're not a woman, and, you know, you're talking to the girls. That's how we as women psych ourselves out with stuff, you know, because we tell ourselves, oh, well, this one cookie is not going to make a difference. You know, skipping this one workout is not going to make a difference. And it does make a difference because it gives you an excuse to do it again. You know, if you if you eat the cookie this time, you know, and I'm not talking about, like, eat a cookie in, like, an AGD type of thing. I mean, you're already at 1,500 calories, and here's a 200-calorie cookie. And you don't really need to eat it. You know, it's not like you have a craving. It's just there. You know, and you feel like you're supposed to eat it, if that makes sense. It's just, you know, but it does. You give yourself an excuse to do it again. Oh, well, I'll just do, you know, some extra cardio. You know, you're not going to. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to do no extra cardio to burn out that cookie. You know, you're going to eat 3 of those cookies and have some milk. Maybe some popcorn later, and then you're going to be crying later on because you blew your calories for the day, and now you feel guilty, and then you go into a cycle, you know, where it's like 2-3 days, you know, almost like a depression in a way.
So it's a bit of a slippery slope, you're saying?
It very, very much, especially, sprain into my bookshelf, especially for me, because, I mean, I'm very all or nothing. I think Brad did a blog about something like that, about people with like spontaneous or impulsive type personalities. I'm like, hey, that's me. That's definitely me, you know.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was really good. So that is a good point, that the idea that, like you said, if when you're right on the edge of where the calories need to be, that one little decision about skipping a workout or having something eat, that could blow it right there. And I don't think people realize how close it is. Like, the difference between a 4-day and not really can be just a cookie away.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like a momentum, you know. It's like you start, when you have like 3 or 4 forward days, you don't want to, you know, screw that up. But then, and then once you have a bad day, it's the same way. Well, I had a bad day yesterday, so what happens? You know, we say we only weigh ourselves once a week. I weigh myself several times a day. This is a horrible habit. I have tried hiding the scale and have went and found it. It doesn't work for me.
You can't do that. Yeah. Hey, the key is being on a roll, and being on the right roll, not on the bad one.
Right, because, I mean, I can get on a bad roll very easily. You know, I don't do a workout and, you know, go over my calories, which means, you know, of course, you know, I didn't gain, you know, 2 pounds of fat in one day. I know that. But the scale says you're up 2 pounds. So then now not only have you had that bad day, you know, as far as your eating goes, but now it's carried over into the next morning. So now you're already starting out on the wrong foot, you know, because your weight is up. And it makes you more vulnerable to make more bad decisions. I mean, I think most girls have gone through this. Like, if you get on the scale and you hit a new low, you know, like, you finally, like I know when I break out of the 160s and get into the 150s, that's going to be my biggest forward day. You know, when you have something like that, you're not going to screw it up. You know, but if you get on there and you're, you know, 2 pounds up, well, it kind of sets the tone for the day. So I guess it's not a good idea to weigh every day, but I'm not there mentally yet, so...
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. It's positive movement begets more positive movement, but negative movement begets more negative. So it's kind of like nipping the bad days in the bud and trying to stack up more good ones. It's such a psychological interplay. There's no other way around it.
Yeah. But, and I'm also happy to be the first Black Venus, so.
Well, I'm happy that you are the first.
I am very, very proud. I actually had a couple people message me on Facebook, you know, mentioning that. So, you know, it's good to see, you know, Black people represent in these type of competitions because, like I said earlier, we get a lot of bad press when it comes to health, you know. Our diabetes are, you know, we're highest in diabetes, highest in overweight, highest in blood pressure, all these, you know, negative things. And part of that is because we do value curves. You know, being a Black girl with no butt is not a good thing. It's very difficult. So what I think a lot of people miss out on is that you can still have curves but be small. Your curves don't only have to come from fat. You know, it doesn't look good when you get older anyhow. It only looks good in jeans for some people, you know. I've seen videos. It only looks good in jeans for some. So, you know, it's like, why not look good out of jeans, you know. Anyway.
No, I hear you. Okay, well, I mean, that was good. I think we're on to the end. So thanks for being on, and congratulations on the contest.
Thank you. And thank you for finally responding to one of my posts, by the way. I used to get irritated. Like, I'd like say, hey, I have a question for the guys, and none of the guys would ever reply. I'm like, dang.
Oh, if you really need me to respond, just put my name right in the post for John.
Okay, I know. I'm just.
We'll talk about this more later when we're done recording.
Okay.
Okay. So for Cassandra Bragg, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.